Today I'll be presenting Nail, our tool for safely handling complicated file formats and network protocols. Currently, software that handles binary inputs usually does so with some handwritten code. So your application gets some bytes, say from the network or from a file, it does some magic with it, and then afterwards it might produce some more bytes as an output. This handwritten input code is quite error-prone. If you're doing it in C, you're quite likely to introduce, say, some memory corruption bugs. But even if you use a safer language and have two bug-free implementations of the same protocol, they might still disagree about the meaning of one particular input. And in this talk, I'll talk about why these parsing bugs are so bad, how we can avoid them by automatically generating parsers to handle our input, but why current parser generators are not quite powerful enough to handle complicated real-world file formats, and how we can fix that. Recently, there has been a number of high-profile parsing bugs. First, browsers and certificate authorities disagreed about the meaning of some X509 certificates, which allowed attackers to forge SSL certificates. And the code signing parsers on both major mobile phone operating systems could be made to disagree about some application metadata, which allowed attackers to break Android and iOS security models. Let's take a more detailed look at one of these issues, the recent Android master key vulnerabilities. To understand this, first let's take a look at how Android packages applications as zip files. To parse a zip file, you have to find a zip header at the end of a file by scanning backwards until you find some magical number. This, in turn, will contain the offset and size of a zip file directory, which, in turn, will contain offsets and sizes of each entry within the zip file. And then you have the usual things you would expect from an archive file, like compress and checksum data. One peculiarity of Android's implementation is that it has two separate parsers, because Android for zip files. It, one, has a verifier that checks the signature of each file contained within a zip archive, and then it has a separate zip implementation that actually extracts this onto your file system. The verifier, however, reuses the length of the name field from the central directory when parsing a local file entry. This allows an attacker to craft a file where the verifier sees different file contents than what the installer will actually see when it's extracting the file, which allows an attacker to bypass the Android security model. To gain a broader understanding of these kinds of vulnerabilities, we looked at this at the CVE database, and we found 15 vulnerabilities related to parsing zip files in the last 3 years. 11 of those were memory corruption vulnerabilities that could have been avoided by implementing the zip parsers in, say, a safer language like Go instead of in C. However, there were 4 bugs that were parsing inconsistencies just like the one I described that could not have been fixed by such methods. And so we see that even in mature, well-designed and tested security-focused software like mobile phone platforms, programmers use handwritten input code and introduce security vulnerabilities that way. One promising solution to this problem is to automatically generate your input handling code, say with tools such as Yak or Bison. The way you would, say, build a DNS server with Bison would be your DNS server reads a packet from a network socket, and the programmer then writes a grammar that describes the input format, which is automatically turned into a parser. Traditional parsers like Bison produce an abstract syntax tree, which is not quite a convenient data structure to manipulate in the rest of your program, so you would write some semantic actions that turn this AST into a more convenient data type, which you can then process in your DNS server. Now, most applications, including our DNS server, would also like to generate output. So you take your data structures that you have created as part of your processing, and somehow you want to turn them into another sequence of bytes, which you still have to do with handwritten code. This means you have to implement all of these purple boxes to build an application around a parser generator. Besides this effort, you also have the issue that existing parser generators simply cannot handle complicated formats like DNS or zip archives, because there are various features such as the non-linearity in a zip file that cannot be adequately represented. Nail addresses these two shortcomings. First, the programmer just writes a single grammar that describes both the format and a C data type to represent it internally, and Nail will automatically generate structure definitions for this data type, as well as a parser that transforms a stream of bytes into this representation, as well as a generator that takes this representation and turns it into a stream of bytes again, which reduces programmer effort and eliminates those semantic actions. So the programmer only has to write their grammar down once as opposed to four times. Nail also will introduce several new features that allow it to represent real-world binary formats. We'll introduce dependency fields to handle structural elements and streams to capture non-linear features in data formats. We'll also present our prototype implementation as well as grammars for DNS, ZIP, and Ethernet, and various applications we built on top of these grammars. And we'll then use these to evaluate whether Nail is secure, easy to use, and adequately performant. Let's dive into Nail's design. First, I'll talk about Nail's API and how to use Nail-based applications, how to represent simple structures in Nail, how to cope with redundancy, nonlinear formats, and a variety of other complicated features, as well as some peculiarities when you're generating output. A programmer uses Nail by writing a grammar in our language and passing it to our tool, which will both generate this data type definition, as well as a C file containing a parser and an output generator. We found that one of the best ways to get a grip on the Nail grammar language is to just show how you would implement several simple data structures. First, we have an excerpt from our grammar for a DNS packet header, which consists of a 16-bit integer containing a request ID, followed by a 1-bit flag, which Nail will conveniently translate to a machine-sized integer for you, and some constant bits that will get emitted from the internal data type. Our next example is an extract from a DNS question record in a DNS packet, where we can show that Nail grammars also support value constraints on various fields. And finally, we also support more complicated features such as variable length lists, as shown by this grammar for a DNS domain, which is text strings separated by dots. One other such nice parser combinator is if you just want to represent an arbitrarily long string of bytes, you can write this as many uint 8. And Nail will internally translate this into an array that is a pointer to the parsed integers, as well as a size field. If you were to write a Nail implementation for C++ or some other language, you could use whatever your appropriate vector data type is. However, there are some protocols that also include length fields. For example, actually in a DNS request packet, a domain is encoded as a length followed by that many bytes. If you were to naively translate that into a Nail model, you would wind up with a redundant internal data type. You would once have the length field that is implicit in our array, and you would also have the explicit length field that is sent over the wire. And this could cause the application to be confused, say if it starts modifying them, and then suddenly you have two lengths and the programmer doesn't update one of them. This is actually an instance of a more general problem of redundancy within data formats. Say if you have offsets and the programmer would have to start worrying about how data is supposed to be laid out, or in file formats like ZIP that were made in the day when scanning around your input was impractical and so they duplicated information all over the place. We solved this issue by introducing a new feature called dependent fields that capture values that depend on other values. And the key idea here is that we handle them transparently. So even if information is redundant in the data format, we only keep it around during parsing and only emit a single copy of it in the data type. So in our length example, by using dependent fields, we can eliminate that second length field. Another issue that frequently arises in binary formats is that they're nonlinear. Existing parser generators are meant to parse text-based programming languages that you can parse front to back one character at a time. However, formats like ZIP are very much not linear. As I already mentioned, to parse a ZIP file, you first have to find this header somewhere at the end of the file, parse that header to find out where the directory is, which in turn will tell you where all the other structures in the ZIP file are. Some file formats like Office documents are in fact ZIP files that have some additional structure on the contents of each file. So you might also want to apply a grammar to the contents of each file in a ZIP archive, which would make it very convenient if your parser generator could also decompress this data. Which means that data in real-world formats is actually all over the place and not at all linear. We solve this by introducing streams. We try to split the format into multiple parts, each of which can be parsed linearly independently. So when parsing a zip file, first you would take one input stream that contains the entire zip file, split it up in two, one stream containing the header, one the rest of the file, parse the header stream to figure out where to split off the directory stream, and so on and so forth. And once we've parsed the entire zip file, we might want to create a new stream in memory that contains the decompressed data, so we can continue parsing it. This raises the question of where we actually get these streams from. There are various ways that formats could encode data. So they could have offset and size fields, which in turn could be relative, they could be absolute, they could be something weird in between like PDF does. Offsets can be specified in weird units. They could be in bytes, in words, in sizes of some structure, etc. As I already mentioned, file formats can also contain compressed data with various compression algorithms. And many formats also do their own things that are tricky to represent. So before we run out of space on this slide, we can conclude that we can't really foresee all possible ways that streams might be encoded in a file format. So it's impractical to implement every single such mechanism within Nail, and Nail would get needlessly complicated. So we propose to introduce transformations, which is a plug-in interface for small bits of arbitrary code that interfaces with the generated parser and generator to handle streams and dependent fields. We provide a large standard library for common features. So if you have offsets that are in terms of bytes, that's perfectly handleable. But if you have a more complicated format like zip, which involves scanning backwards until you find this magic value and so on and so forth, you can write your own code to deal with that. But this code will be much smaller than the entire parser, and it can interact with streams through a safer API that hopefully protects you from buffer overflows. In our zip example, if you wanted to split up this big input stream into the two substreams, one containing the zip header, one containing the file contents, you could write that using the transform combinator shown here in the grammar. And Nail will then ask you kindly to implement this zip header parse function that actually takes a stream containing the entire file and produces a stream containing the header and the contents. It will also ask you to write an inverse of that function for when you're generating zip files. Now that you have your streams, in your Nail grammar, you can use the apply parser combinator to actually parse the contents of a stream with some other grammar. Now with more complicated file formats, again with zip, the header really only makes sense when you know about this content stream. So you can parse streams and dependent fields as parameters to other rules. Now that I've talked about the various design features Nail has for handling and parsing protocols, let's go back to what happens when you actually try to generate output. Naively, you would want output generation to be the exact inverse of parsing. If you've just parsed something into a C structure and you pass it back to the generator, you would ideally like to get back the same sequence of bytes. And then you wind up with a nice mathematical bijection. However, for real-world formats, that's not very practical. If you have this with zip, you would have to start storing offsets somewhere. Zip might also have bytes that don't mean anything, just arbitrary padding. And you would have to store the contents of this padding or write some grammar for them. Which means, really, you're no longer writing just a zip application, but you'll start writing a linker and a loader and a memory allocator. To avoid this, we relax our guarantees and only require that the Nail generator preserves semantics, not syntax. So when you parse the output of the generator, you get back the same data type, but not necessarily vice versa. This allows Nail to, say, discard information about the padding and rearrange offsets as necessary. Now that I've presented Nail's design to you, let's take a look at our prototype implementation. We've implemented Nail for C code and C data types, and our code generator is actually implemented using Nail itself, using 100-line Nail grammar to parse Nail grammars and around 1,800 lines of C++ to implement the code generator. Our implementation has various defense-in-depth features, such as an arena allocator, so you can't use Nail to produce heap feng shui attacks on the rest of your program. We use this prototype implementation to evaluate our work. First, we wanted to ask whether Nail and applications built using it are safer than existing applications, whether it can be used to implement real-world protocols and file formats, and whether Nail's contributions are essential to it. We then evaluated whether Nail reduces programmer effort compared to other parsers and to handwritten code, and how Nail applications perform. Nail is safer than existing alternatives because The first thing is it eliminates memory bugs by reducing handwritten code. As long as there are no bugs in Nail itself, you should not have any memory corruption issues in your code. And the transformations have a safer API and are orders of magnitude smaller than existing handwritten parsers. The parser also creates a single point where you have a well-defined input verification scheme. So you no longer have verification code spread throughout your program, and it's less likely that you'll miss some checks. Finally, and most importantly, Nail grammars are isolated from the rest of the application, so you can reuse them. And when you have two separate implementations of the same protocol, if they're using different grammars, you just have to look at the grammar as opposed to the entire application. To get some more empirical data on Nail security, we also ran our DNS server application that we implemented with Metasploit's DNS fuzzer, and we did not get any crashes in 2 days, while other DNS servers did. Nail, to demonstrate that Nail can handle real-world formats, we implemented various grammars, including an Ethernet stack supporting UDP, ARP, and ICMP. We also implemented grammars for DNS packets and zip archives. We then used these grammars to implement various applications. First, our DNS packet grammar consists of 92 lines of Nail. This includes both DNS packets as well as DNS zone files. And in addition to a 64-line transformation, it handles DNS's custom label compression scheme. On top of that, we wrote 180 lines of C to implement an authoritative-only DNS server. The Hammer parser generator also ships with a parser-based DNS server that, however, is not powerful enough to handle label compression. And that did a combination of application and grammars, about 700 lines of code. But this is not actually a functional server, but it can only tell you whether DNS packets are valid or not. We then reused the same grammar to also implement a recursive DNS resolver in just 97 lines of C, which compares to the about 3,000 lines of C used to just identify metadata structures within DNS response packets in the standard GNU C library. We also wrote a grammar for zip archives, which consisted of 50 lines of Nail and 80 lines of C code implementing transformations, both to find this header, as well as to call zlib to actually decompress the LZ77 data you find in a zip archive. And we then wrote another 50 lines of C to implement a basic version of the unzip utility with this grammar. The full Unix unzip distribution is, of course, much larger than this, because it supports all sorts of other features. But it has a 1,600-line C file that handles just the metadata parsing for zip archives and then tells the rest of the code what exactly to decompress. So we can see that Nail applications are much shorter than comparable handwritten applications. We also found that Nail's features were very useful in implementing these grammars. We could represent the various count fields in DNS as dependency fields, whereas Hammer had parser combinators specific to DNS to be able to handle these fields. And we could implement DNS label compression as transformation. Similarly, Nail's features were very useful in implementing zip. Our final evaluation question is whether Nail would slow down applications and make it completely impractical to use. So we evaluated our DNS server against the popular Bind9 DNS server on an authoritative workload that you would have if you're running, say, a web host with 50,000 domains. And we found that Nail DNS outperforms Bind9 by a factor of about 3. Now, this is not entirely a fair comparison, because you can use Bind9 to do all sorts of other things. You can also run it as a caching web server. And you can use it to run your zone. But we believe that this shows that Nail is not a major performance that using a parser generator is not a major performance obstacle compared to handwritten code. Of course, there has been much related work. Nail's basic parser algorithm is the PACRAT algorithm for parser expression grammars, described in Brian Ford's master's thesis. Our work was much inspired by the Hammer parser generator I already mentioned for binary protocols in C, and the field of data description languages, which originates this idea of generating an output generator and a parser at the same time from the same description. However, these projects are not quite powerful enough to handle the complicated file formats I've been talking about. What you should take away from this talk is that first, you should start using grammars to handle input in all your input in your programs, and it will help you get rid of a lot of bugs. And that you should think about some of Nail's features, such as dependency fields, streams, and transforms, as ways to help you cope with the complicated features in existing protocols. And our source code, as well as the examples I mentioned, are available on GitHub. And now I believe we have some time for questions and an obligatory cat picture.
Questions?
Really?
If there are no questions, I don't have any answers.
Anything else you want to say? You got to?
I don't think so. Feel free to send me an email if you think of something.
Eddie.
Hello. Hi, Eddie Kohler, Harvard. So one disadvantage that some pack rat parsers have is memory usage. Is that a conceivable reason why one would ever want to keep using a handwritten C parser?
What did you say the issue was? I didn't catch it.
Well, a pack rat parser can have much higher memory usage for the same grammar as another kind of parser.
We actually provide the option of just being a straightforward parser expression generator, a linear backtracking parser, which we actually used, for example, for our DNS protocol because it doesn't have much backtracking, in which case you will wind up with very little memory use.
Is there...
We didn't measure it.
Okay. Did you measure the parsing performance of that option as well? Is it much slower?
Again, because it doesn't backtrack, it's not much slower. We measured a factor of about 2 just for keeping up the hash table.
Great, thanks.
Yeah. But there you go.